morning. For those of you who may be part of our viewing audience, this is Central Baptist Church located in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, just a little bit north of the Greensboro, North Carolina area. And we're glad that you're tuning in and joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning. Look at somebody around you, give them a wave and a real smile. Give a smile that says, I'm glad that you are here today. If you are part of our online audience, how about saying hello to Dr. Just call him Dr. John. He'll enjoy that because that's what he is. I tell people, I said, we have a real rocket scientist around here in Dr. John, who moonlights from his teaching position at North Carolina A&T. In the summertime, he does, I think it's rocket propulsion for NASA. Isn't that right? Is that right, John? Rocket propulsion. Yeah, okay. So I get to tell people I got a real rocket scientist in my church. But at any rate, if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to Dr. John. If you see somebody that is a part of that feed, just give them a wave. You know, everybody likes using emojis and those sort of things. If you're part of the online community, be sure to do that. We want you to understand and know that you're part of our family as well. We love you. If you have any questions as part of our online crew, you can be sure to ask Dr. John. He'll make sure he can get you the answer. If it's not right then, he'll let us know. But we are glad that you are here today as we begin our time together. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Lord, to just come into the quietness and the stillness of your house, to be still and know that you are God. Father, as we do so, we realize that life and circumstances press on us from every side. But as we come into your presence, Lord, I pray that today we would allow those things to take a back seat. Lord, I pray that you would just drive Satan from this place right now, that we would truly hear from you, and that for each and every one of us, separately and on an individual basis, be able to hear the message that you have that's tailor-made for each and every person that is here. Lord, you want to speak to us. Give us ears, as your word says, to hear what the Spirit has to say this morning. Now, Father, as we worship, as we hear and as we lift up our hearts and song to you, Lord, as we lift our hearts to you in prayer, as we lift our hearts as we gather around your word, I pray that you truly will fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to understand that what we do as an act of worship. So, Father, as we enter into that time of worship through song and through music, I pray that we would worship truly from our hearts. That our worship to you wouldn't simply be from our lips, but it would have meaning. Help us, Father, to concentrate on what it is that we say to you this day through song, through prayer, and every aspect of our service. And we'll be careful to praise you as we ask this in Jesus' name.
Good morning. You sing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." There's a think about the words, "Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour." But God is so, Lord, during this time in our world, we just need to be praying this. So please join me and stand as we sing 56.
Thank you.
Those weeks heading into Easter, you know, one of the traditions that we have as Southern Baptists is to collect the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and that is for North American missions. Now, if you've been around for a while, you used to hear it called home missions, but we call it North American missions now, which includes the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and this is what keeps our missionaries on the field in various and sundry places. Spreading the good news, the message of Jesus Christ to those. Now, and it's ironic that it seems like the more we go forward, the less people in America have actually heard the name Jesus Christ. It is surprising. You would think that would be the case in places that are overseas or, you know, tribes out in the hill countries and places like that, but that's not the case. There are people right here in the United States of America proper, as we know it, a civilized nation, that have never heard the name Jesus Christ. And these are our missionaries that we put out on the field, and that's what this offering goes to. 100% of the offering goes to that. Our goal this year is $7,000. Every penny of that goes to these missionaries to keep them on the field. But we don't want you just to give. We want you to be able to have an opportunity to see these folks and hear their stories and hear what they do. That's the reason why during these seasons we get to introduce to you, at least by way of video, some of the missionaries that you support through your giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Now, today we're going to feature just for about a minute and 47 seconds, Steve and Cindy Martins, who are missionaries to St. Catharines.
A lot of people think that the time of doing public evangelism is long past. And we recognize that's not something that's done regularly anymore, but we thought, well, why not? And that's actually how we started this church. There's about 14,000 Latinos in the region of Niagara, and realizing that there really isn't a sort of established Latino church that preached the gospel biblically. Because I come from a Latin American background, I felt led, I felt called by God to take this missional step.
When we started church planting, one of the things that we wanted to help our church or the culture of our church be is that we have a really tight community.
Latino culture is very family oriented, but there are a lot of people who don't have their immediate family here or their extended family here. Niagara is home to a large number of migrant workers who leave their families at home. And so we've been meeting at this place in a barn, actually, where we would share the gospel with them. We would go into God's word, we would learn what the gospel is and what Christ is asking them to do with their lives. And then afterwards, there's a game of soccer, because you can't have community without a game of soccer.
And this season of church planting has been a journey where you walk kind of blindsided in a sense, but then you're not alone because we have the support of other people.
When you give, what you're really doing is you're giving tools into people's hands to sow the seed of the gospel so that their lives may be changed. We become their family and they become part of ours.
As I mentioned just a moment ago, our goal this year as Central Baptist Church is $7,000. You can contribute to that. There are envelopes probably there in the back of your pews. We have some, I think, in our narthex. If you wish to contribute to this offering, you can do so by just putting your offering in that envelope. You can mark it Annie Armstrong, and we will make sure that it gets to the proper place. We will be taking this offering at least through Easter, probably past that, because Easter falls a little bit later this year than it has in the past. So please prayerfully consider what you would have or what God would have you to do in contributing to this offering. And we want to pause for this moment just to pray for those missionaries and to pray that the Lord would lead us in the ways that He would have us to follow Him. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You now, we're grateful and thankful for those that You have called that have answered the call. Lord, like this this fellow we just saw, Lord, that are doing ministry in places that are non-traditional, maybe some in a non-traditional way, but all over North America, Father, I think about people today, right now, even as we come to You in prayer, who are striving to reach a people group, striving to reach their community and their neighbors with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that You would empower them. Father, we thank You that You give us an opportunity to participate with You in ministry such as this. So, Father, right now, I pray that You would lead us and guide us in what You would have us to do in contributing to keeping these missionaries on the field and disseminating Your word to a lost and dying world. Again, Lord, we just ask that You would help us today as we gather around You in this place that we call Central Baptist Church. Lord, we pray that You will show up in our lives individually and corporately and do great things as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So hopefully you can join us tonight, and we're going to start working on Easter music. We've already started, and I was thinking about it as I see
pink shirts and purple and light greens and pastels of spring. As we're getting excited about that, as Roy mentioned, it's a little later, so April 17th, so we're going to be working on that. And so 5 o'clock today. Now we're going to, if you'll stand with the choir, we're going to sing He Knows My Name. This is one we've been learning for the last month or two, so hopefully it's becoming more familiar. He Knows My Name.
That he knows my name, right?
Okay. Yeah. Glad he knows my name. Wonderful. Glad we'll be here today. Yep.
Come on, y'all. I mean, that's something special. God knows your name. He calls you by name. You know, I've said many times before that particularly when we look at passages. That particular passage that I don't believe to be a parable. I actually believe it to be a story. And many of you have heard me say this before, but in the Bible, it says the rich man and Lazarus. Now, how many of you all know that story? You know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Well, I've said before, I don't believe this to be a parable because when it comes down to things like parables, Jesus actually never used proper names. He would say, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a king going his separate way, right? That sounds Bible-ish, doesn't it? So that was essentially, you know, how the Lord was letting you know that he was telling a story to prove his point or to put things out there. But in this that particular passage, he calls Lazarus by name. He had a name. And when you think about that, I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but yeah, the whole time he called Lazarus, but he called the rich man the rich man. You know why? Because he didn't know him by name. He was not one of his. But what a great scripture to prove the fact that he knows my name. And that should be something special to each and every one of us. Now that was free because that's not what I'm going to preach on this morning. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me if you would. To Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, as we consider the concepts, as we're heading into the resurrection season, this time that we call Easter, you know, I'm led to the things that were leading up to the crucifixion of our Savior, and one of those things was the time that Jesus spent in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, all of us know that if we spent any time around scripture, church, Bible school, or anything else, many of us know what that passage talks about, where Jesus went to the garden and he was seriously, and I'm going to use the term distressed. It was a heavy burden that he was carrying. Yet he knew that Calvary was coming. Now remember, he took three of his, I'll call them his heavy hitters, his top disciples, and he said to them, he said, you all wait here and pray. Watch and pray with me. He said, I'm going to go a little further into the garden, and I'm going to spend some good alone time with the Father. Now, you and I are privileged through the Word to know what that time consisted of, where Jesus prayed fervently, and he said, Father, if there is a way to allow this cup to pass from me, then let it be so. But the ultimate bottom line of his prayer was simply this: nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now you remember, he took I'll call it a prayer break, and he went and he found his disciples asleep. At one of the most critical times in Jesus' life, he's called on his three best, and I'll use that term loosely, but his three that he had there, and he comes back and finds them asleep. Now, how would that make you feel if you know you were Jesus and you were counting on them, and you're thinking, okay, these guys are going to be over here, they're going to be praying with me, and you come back and they're all like, well, it's kind of like a pastor feels in church on Sunday morning. I'm just kidding, y'all. But so he said, come on, guys, can't y'all just pray with me? Can't you? Yeah, this is a critical time in my life. Now, he's like, snap to, guys. Wake up. And then it says he went back to pray, and he came back, and he found them the same way he did before. Now, Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he knew that the time was at hand, because often we don't connect these two things, but the betrayal was at the Garden of Gethsemane. So remember when Jesus got finished and he started to head out, Judas had made some plans. Judas had planned to betray him. And the passages that we're getting ready to look at today, which comes out of Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 47. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 47, says this. It says, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Verse 53, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus? In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we just ask that you would give us insight into your word. Lord, we're grateful for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that truly is speaking to us today and giving us guidance in your word and teaching us. And Father, today we can learn the lesson that you would have for each and every one of us. Father, for some of us, it's something you want to teach us. For some, it's a word of comfort and a word of peace. But Lord, whatever it is, you have something for each of us. May we go away from this place having received it. Lord, I pray that for your messenger, you would truly empower me for these next few moments, that you and you alone truly would be lifted up, that you might draw all men unto you. So, Father, we pray that you will bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today, you know, we kind of have the picture in our mind of what is taking place. You figure Jesus is coming out of the garden. We know that Judas has been playing a little bit of double agent. He has gone and told them, he says, you know, y'all just, you know, go with me. And the one that I kiss, that'll be the one that you will grab. That'll be the one that you will seize. Now, you have to remember that Judas was one of the 12. You also have to remember that Judas was chosen by Jesus as one of the 12. Okay, does that make sense? Now, there's a reason behind all of this. I think that at times we get in a catch-22 situation in our hearts when we consider the Easter message, when we consider everything that Christ went through that you and I might have eternal life. You know, if we could carry you there to the picture of what Christ went through, the beating with the cat of nine tails, when they slapped him with the reed, the crown of thorns that we talked about last week. If we could take you there and give you that visual of that, you would probably have a little bit of a different feeling, wouldn't you? Now, I mentioned this a week or so ago, but many of us, I had the opportunities back years ago to see that movie, The Passion of the Christ. How many of you all saw that? People came away from that with a whole new sense of what Jesus went through suffering for you and I. Because when we could get that visual picture of what it was that Christ went through, it adds a whole new dimension to how we think, see, feel, and believe, doesn't it? Yeah, people are sitting there going, wow, I mean, I just never thought about it in that manner. And what happens is so often we get to the point where we sit back and say, well, I'll tell you what, that was just so heinous what they did, and it was. But here's what we have to continue to realize. You have to realize that if Jesus hadn't gone to Calvary's cross, you and I would not have the opportunity for salvation. And I believe that is the point that Jesus is making right here. You know, when he said, and there was something that he said that that's really interesting, because I titled this morning's message, Where Are the Angels? Yeah, how many times have you been in a situation and you're like, okay, well, where was backup on that one? You know, where was this person at that time? Now, I want to carry you over to a particular passage that we're dealing with today. Go down to verse 53. Now, what is going on is we know that Peter whips out this sword. He's going to be the big guy, man. He's going to, he's like, okay, I'm going to take all this on for Jesus. And it says he cut the ear, you know, off of one of the servants of the high priest. And Jesus said, stop, man, hold on, stop what you're doing. Yeah, put that up. He said, that's not what this is all about. But he said something very, very pointed in verse 53. In verse 53, notice what he said. Basically, he said, do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels? Do you understand what he's saying there? He's like, guys, look, you got to understand. Here, in short, this is what he was saying. This is part of the plan. If I wanted to be delivered, all I would have to do would be call on the Father, and he would send me 12 legions of angels to clean house. It wouldn't be a problem whatsoever. Yeah, I've often thought of what the angelic view during the time of Christ's suffering and the crucifixion was. Have you ever thought about what that must have been? You see, there are angels who are called specifically to be those that are protectors. There are those that are, I believe, by every human being's side. Now, you can call them guardian angels. You can call them whatever you want to. But you better not worship them, and you better not give them deity. Okay? Worship and deity goes to the Father, not an angelic being. How many times throughout the Word, when the angel of the Lord appeared and somebody bowed down and they're like, no, you need to get up. Your worship needs to be to the Father, not to me. But yet they're designed with specific tasks. Could you imagine what it must have been like to have been one of those angels who was watching Christ go through what he was going through, and yet God the Father saying, stay still. Don't jump. Every ounce of these angels is wanting to help and just saying, just let me go, God. Just let me go. We will mop the floor with these guys. And God's saying, mm-mm. Nope. You guys just sit back. You just have to watch. In the same manner that God, you see, remember what the word says. The word says, and when we look at it, it's like he had to turn his back on the Son. Why? Not because he didn't love him, but because he loved mankind enough and knew that was the only way to provide a way of salvation for you and I. And Jesus said, don't you guys get it? If I wanted to, I could call legions of angels to stop this. But he didn't do so, and it was for several reasons. One of those is that the scriptures must be fulfilled. When we go back and we look at the Word of God, how many times do we look at what was prophesied from the days of old? I want you to stop and think about in the scriptures what the Lord said. Think about every Passover lamb from the days of the Old Testament was a picture of the slain Savior. Everything in history had been leading up to this particular point where the way of salvation would be paid. Yeah, David wrote of the coming of the crucifixion. Yeah, Isaiah described Christ's suffering and described his death in Isaiah 53. All this was before this particular instance where Christ is about to be taken into custody. Think about Zechariah. Zechariah wrote about Christ's wounds on the cross, what would happen to him in Zechariah chapter 13. Everything had been prophesied from the days of old. Jesus would be the coming Messiah that would save the people from their sins. And I think that what happened was those who should have known him, those religious leaders, those that were trained, completely missed him. We know the scripture. We've heard the scripture. He came to his own, and his own received him not. That's the Jewish people. That's Israel. And they received him not. How many times do we read throughout the New Testament of the chief priest and the scribes and the Pharisees that were always trying to catch Jesus? See, I think what happened was they had gotten into a habit. They had gotten into a worship habit. They were too busy doing stuff. They were so busy doing stuff that they completely missed Jesus when he was in their presence, when he was in their midst. Now, folks, I want to ask you a question. Are we missing Jesus in our midst because we're too busy being religious? Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Being religious and having a relationship with God, to me, are two completely different things. There's a lot of people that are Satanists are religious. That just simply means that they follow a prescribed method. And what happened was those who should have seen him didn't. Now I ask you, those of us who should see him, are we? Are we hearing him? Are we seeing him? So what's happening here is now all of a sudden these same disciples, and I think I just, I made a note in my Bible here, particularly in verse 56. In verse 56 he said, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They all ran. When the chips were down, all the disciples ran. Now, if you've got your Bible, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just, in the same chapter, I want you to flip back a page. If you got my Bible, you flip back a page to verse 35. Because verse 35 said this. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Listen, they didn't even get out of that chapter before they fled from Jesus. They were like, I'll be there with you. And then when the chips were down, pew, they were gone. And yet Jesus knew all this was going to happen. How did he know it was all going to happen? Because it had been prophesied from the beginning of time. He knew his march to Calvary. He knew his march to Golgotha. So he did this that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Do you get that? People sit back oftentimes and say, why? Why did this happen? Why did Jesus have to go through that? That the scriptures might be fulfilled is one reason. The second reason is that the Savior had to be forsaken according to the Word of God. See, Jesus repeatedly revealed his coming betrayal. He kept telling the disciples that, but they were just missing it. It was just like going right over their head. He kept telling them, the Son of Man must be betrayed. And they didn't get it. Now, some of us would look at that and say, well, that makes me feel better about me because a lot of times I just don't get it. And sometimes we struggle, don't we? Sometimes we struggle with why God does what he's doing. Sometimes we struggle with what's taking place and what's happening. But he said in Matthew 17, 22, that the Son of Man shall be betrayed. It's like, guys, are you missing what's going on? See, I think sometimes what happens is when we have love, we tend to overlook the things that we don't want to see, don't we? Have you ever known somebody who was just looking the other way from something? It was almost like it wasn't reality if they didn't acknowledge it or if they didn't look at it. Well, if I just turn away from this, then it's not going to be a reality. I don't know that that might have been what the circumstance with the disciples were. I believe with all my heart they loved Jesus. I believe with all my heart that they walked with him. And I believe with all my heart that they had right intentions. But they missed it. See, how does that translate today? Today, you and I can have the right heart and miss it. Today, we can have all the love in the world for Jesus and miss what it is that he wants to do. We have to pause, we have to consider, we have to meditate on what it is that God is wanting done in your life and my life. Now, I've said this, now people, depending on how you take it, will say, you're crazy. Well, that's not the first time people have told me that. But I've said before, people have asked me, they're like, well, when you go on these mission trips, aren't you afraid you're going to get arrested or something? I was like, no. And they're like, well, how can you be that way? I said, well, let me just state it like this. Superman don't have nothing on me. Faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. That guy, he ain't got nothing on me. You know why? Because until God is finished with me, I am invincible. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to step out in front of a tractor trailer truck out here on 68 and try to prove that point, because he might say, I also gave you a brain by which to think with. And that is not what you do not test the Father. But I can tell you this, until he's done with me, until my last sermon's preached, until my last prayer is prayed, I'm invincible. There is nothing on this side of glory that is going to take me to glory 1 second sooner than the Lord foreordained from the foundations of this earth. So I ain't worried about it. And then you know what happens? When my time comes, I'm going to be about the Father's business, and I'm going to go, hey, I'm here. And that's the way it should be for each and every one of us. That's what it ought to be. So the thing about it is, what does that have to do with this? The Lord tells us that he is going to protect us. Everything is going to go along with what God's plan is. There is a plan and a purpose for your life in the middle of it. You're not even here today by accident. God brought you here for a reason. What's he trying to tell you? I don't know about you, but boy, that bed felt good this morning. Amen? Man, it was nice and cozy between the sheets, and the pillow was just, I am just on Sunday morning. Why is Sunday morning the hardest day of the week to get up? You know why? Oh, Satan don't want us to gather together. He don't want us here. He don't want us to do those things. And you can, there's tons of people all over the world today that succumb to that temptation. And they're missing out. They're missing the opportunity to be in the presence of God with God's people. There's nothing magical about the brick and the mortar or the sheetrock at 1715 Highway 68 North. What makes it magical is its people who come together. That's what makes it something special. I think about all the things that Christ has done for us that had to be done. And that's what we have to understand. It had to be done that you and I might have the opportunity for salvation. The scriptures had to be fulfilled. The Savior had to be forsaken. Jesus told his disciples, that they would forsake him, even in the chapter that we're dealing with. And you know what? How many times have we sat back and go, not me. I'm not going to do it. Remember what he said to Peter. We'll probably be talking about Peter sometime leading up to Easter. But Peter said, nah, Lord, if everybody else leaves you, you got me. And it's so ironic that Jesus, I could just picture what he must have thought. Guy, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, he actually did tell him that because he said, well, Peter, not only will you deny me, you'll deny me three times before morning, before the rooster crows. Now, I've said before, I'm stubborn enough that how many stubborn people we got in here? I better see some hands. Stubborn. You know what? If somebody tells me something like that, I'd have probably taken that as a dare. Oh, you think so? You think I'm going to deny you three times before morning, Jesus? Well, we'll see about it. I would have gone and hid somewhere. I would have crawled up in the fetal position and chained myself to the bed, and I wouldn't have had nothing to do with anybody until morning so I could come back and go, see, I told you. How many of my people out there are like that? Oh, come on. Thank you, Larry. I love you, brother. Honesty, Monica, yes. Baptist Church, yes, I see that hand. I see. That's the honest part of it. You know, we can be a little on the stubborn side. And Jesus told Peter, before morning, not only will you deny me, you're going to deny me three times. I'd been, uh-uh. And then you notice what it says. It says that when Peter was in the situation Peter did on the third time when he heard the rooster crow, it said he wept bitterly. Because he knew that what Jesus said was true. He knew that he had denied him. How many times in our walk do we sit back and say, Lord, why is it that I do the things that I shouldn't and I don't do the things that I should? I don't know about you, but let me tell you, for me, it's not daily. It's multiple times a day. What, Lord, why is this so tough? Man, I really love you. Jesus said, I paid the price for you that you might have eternal life. The prophets said that Jesus would die alone, forsaken. David said, despised of the people, over in Psalm 22. Isaiah said, you know, we hid our faces from him. And Jesus even had to be forsaken by the Father for those moments on Calvary's cross. And you step back, this just doesn't sound right, does it? But remember what Jesus said from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yeah, it wasn't that he forsook me. Listen, Jesus knew all along what the plan was. He was 100% holy the whole time. He had deity from the time before he was born. When he walked on this earth, he was 100% God then. He knew what was going on and what was taking place. But let me tell you, he felt those nails go through his hand. He felt those nails go through his feet. He felt that crown of thorns. He felt the whipping. He felt the spear. And he did it all for you and for me. Does that give us a different perspective on Jesus? Does it give us a different perspective on how we treat him in our daily walk today? I want you to think about that for a moment. I know that there have been times, whether it was back in high school or whatever, that there was somebody who was just as good as gold. And I'm not going to make you feel guilty, but I'm going to make one of your friends feel guilty. But you had a friend that treated another friend like dirt. That person loved them, would do for them, would go out of their way, do anything for them, and behind their back, they just kind of got treated like dirt. Because that was the person they would talk to you about. Well, that person just always, that person this, that person. And yet that person was the one who was loving and kind and caring along the way. Most of us have seen that. And you thought to yourself, wow, man. That person really cares for you. That person really loves you. That person does out of their heart. And yet that is the gratitude they get in return. Have you ever thought that maybe Jesus thinks that way about us? As his children. Listen, I'm not talking about a lost person. He expects that from a lost person. I am talking about born again believers. And you know what he says? I went to the cross for you. I took a beating for you. And you can't even show up to a Bible study a couple times a week. I did all this for you, and you can't even be obedient and faithful to give back so much that I blessed you with. You know what? He doesn't say this, but you know what we would say if it happened to us? We would sit back and say, you are selfish, you are stingy, and you are unkind. That's not the qualities that God wants of his children at all. Jesus had to go to the cross to provide a way that you and I would have opportunities for eternity. Do we deserve it? That's a question. Do we deserve it?
No.
No, we don't. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It is by his grace. But what is another quality? Souls had to be freed from their sin. That's why Jesus had to go through that. That's why he didn't stop what was taking place. That's why he didn't call the angels to come save him. Because souls had to be freed from their sins. Had the angels intervened, there would have been no gospel message. No gospel would mean no salvation. All would be lost, and forever we would be without hope. That's why Jesus didn't call the legions of angels. That's why Jesus willingly went to Calvary's cross, because he knew there was no other way to have eternal life. And the same holds true today. What does the scripture says? There is no other way given among men whereby we must be saved other than Jesus Christ. Now y'all help me here, because you've heard it for two decades. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He's the only way. You can't get there any other way than through Jesus Christ, period. Now I'm going to tell you something that the world don't like to hear. There is this place called heaven, and there is a place called hell. Did he say that? Did he really say hell, that place of eternal punishment, eternal damnation? Absolutely. You know why? Because it's real. And I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of people who are going to experience it, who are trying to turn their back and ignore it. Let me tell you something, folks. Hell's real, and you're one heartbeat away from it if you don't have Jesus. You hear me? Those online, do you hear me? If you've got Jesus, good. If you don't, you're one heartbeat away from eternal life in hell, and then it's too late. What will you do about it? Why did Jesus go to Calvary? That you and I might have the chance at eternal life in the place called heaven. Jesus said in the garden, Lord, if there's another way, let's take it. God said, there is no other way. There had to be a perfect sacrifice. There had to be the perfect Lamb of God. Somebody who could pay the ransom for every sin ever committed in the past. To pay the price for every sin in the present. And to pay the price for every sin that will ever happen in the future. And only the perfect Christ could do that. Oh yeah, but you know, when we think about that, we consider everything he went through. A couple more weeks away is coming, because in a couple more weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate the resurrection. Whew. Wow. Makes me excited. I want to preach it now, because he came out of that tomb. You know, it's kind of like the happy dance. It's like, yeah. I mean, if you're sitting there, I mean, you picture yourself being the ones that were there, his disciples. Picture his mama and everybody else, the hurt that they were feeling during that time. And then when Jesus comes out of that tomb, everybody going, mm-hmm, yeah, told you. See? We were right. Let me just tell you like this. This is the greatest story ever told. And here's the cool part. I've read the last chapter. Have you? See, I know how the story ends. And here's the cool part. I'm on the winning team. Are you? Have you trusted in Christ? Yeah, he could have called. We sing a song, don't we? He could have called 10,000 angels. Isn't that the title of it? And imagine the angels who were sitting there going, look, man, we've got the power. We could just mop this place up. We could take these guys out. Come on, God, let me go. God said, mm-mm. You got to stay back. And those warrior angels sitting there going, just let me at them. Let me at them. Mm-mm. Imagine how they had to watch him on the cross suffering. And those angels going, God, turn us loose. What are you doing? Let us go down there and avenge your son. And God said, mm-mm. You can't go. And probably one of those angels was probably like me. Why not? Because without the crucifixion and the resurrection, there is no salvation. There is no gospel. And that is what saves us. And that is why we're here. Now, let me just make this. This is a little addendum. When we get away from that, we have failed at our purpose. When a church no longer communicates the gospel message, then we have become a country club. When we no longer strive to reach people, when we no longer care that the world around us is going to hell, we have a problem. Now, I'm going to tell you this. That is not a popular message in this culture today. You know that? Yeah, we could fill up auditoriums with a feel-good, easy believism to tell people how wonderful they are. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, you look good today. Hallelujah, bless God. Live your best life now. Okay? But that ain't what God called me to do. That's not what he called me to do. And that's not what he's called you to do. He's called us to stand firm. And when we do, let me tell you what's going to happen. The world is not going to like you. Nobody likes to go where they get their toes stepped on, do they? See, we also live in that cancel culture. Let me tell you something. We've been canceled by a whole bunch of people, haven't we? I'm going to hell. That's not a good word, preacher. You don't use that from the pulpit. If you say hell, that's a bad word. If you say hell, that might hurt someone's feelings. I'm not going to get into another sermon, but I'm going to tell you this. This is the softest generation I've ever seen in my life. I mean, Lord of mercy, you apply the Board of Education to the seat of their learning, they're scarred for life. They got to have panic rooms and everything else. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, truth matters. Amen? Yeah, it's all right to tell somebody, you didn't do so well. But you do it in love. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. We got a terrible name as believers in society today. I could start listing them to you right now. Now, some of those terrible names, in all honesty, we deserve. Because we haven't loved like we should. We haven't been representatives of the Father as we should according to His Word. We've been awfully judgmental, haven't we? And I love what the Lord said just in our Bible readings this week. And the Lord said, how is it that you can consider the splinter in your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own eye? And it says, you hypocrite, first get the beam out of your own eye, then you might see clear to get the splinter out of somebody else's. And let me give it to you in my upbringing kind of way. Let me summarize that scripture and then I'll close this out, okay? The summary of that scripture is this, West Virginia style. You ready for it? If you spend your time cleaning up your own backyard, you won't have time to clean up someone else's backyard. Some of y'all need to go get your nose back because it's in everybody's business but your own. Okay? You work on you and you work on God. And let me make you a promise. If you love like you should, then you come forth with the scripture like you should. We will be able to preach the resurrected Christ like we should because we will be examples of him. You know why people don't like Jesus? Because they don't like the way we are. How many times have they said, you know what, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be that. Well, God forbid. I don't want to be that example to somebody of what Christ is. Am I perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. Am I going to make mistakes? Yes. But you know what? When we do, we need to go to the Father. We need to repent. We need to ask His forgiveness, and He will, by His grace, forgive us, and we will be a child of the King. We will represent the family well. I've said this many, many times. How many times growing up did somebody say to you, I know your family didn't raise you that way. I know you were raised better than that. When I was up in that apple tree borrowing some apples from the neighbor, you were raised better than that. How'd they know that? You know, because my mom and daddy raised me right. Well, I know you weren't raised like that, Roy Lewis. Little Roy. I'm still little Roy, and I always will be, even though I'm bigger than big Roy. You were raised better than that. Folks, let me tell you something. Here's your message from God today. You were raised better than that. Why did Jesus go to Calvary? Because there was no other way. He was betrayed into the hands of men because there's no other way by which we can be saved. And today, He calls you and He calls me. He calls us to salvation. He didn't force His way into anybody's life. I'm going to ask our musicians to come on forward as we begin our time of invitation. He didn't force His way into anybody's life. It just doesn't happen that way. You know what it says? What does the word say? It says that the Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and... Why does He stand at the door and knock? To see if you're going to answer. You know, it doesn't say Jesus comes up with the foot and kicks the door in. I'm here. No, He stands there and He knocks. And you and I have the choice as to whether or not we will receive Him. Will you answer the door? Now, some of us are in here and we say, well, I've answered the door. That's not a problem. Well, have you just stuck Him in some recessed corner of your life and not allowed Him to be Lord of your life? Have you consulted Him with what's going on? Listen, I talk to the Lord all the time. Lord, what do I do now? Which way do I go? What do I need to do? I don't always get the answers I want. But He's never been wrong. I don't think I've ever been right, but He's never been wrong. Have you trusted Christ today? Behold, He stands at the door, and He's knocking. Do you hear Him knocking? The question is, will you let Him come in? Have you asked Him to forgive your sins? Have you asked Him to save your soul? Have you opened the door? Listen, if not, I'm just going to simply ask wherever you are just to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I understand I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what? He will. He did. Right then. Because that's as simple as opening the door. Well, that's not the end of the story. You know, what if somebody knocks on your door and you invite them in, what do you usually do next? Just stand there and stare at them? I ain't coming by your house. Don't make this hard. What do? You invite them in. And then once they're in, they come in. What do? Oh, hey, where are my Baptist people? I heard it somewhere. Hey, would you like something to eat? Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. We fellowship together. Listen, don't invite Jesus in and just stare at him. Fellowship with him. Have him in for a meal. Talk to him. Get to know him. Listen, let me tell you something. You'll like him. I promise. And then when he leaves, say, you ain't got to run off now, do you? You know why? Because he's not going to leave. He's like, I'll just stay for the rest of your life. Well, see, for too many of us, we've put him in the upstairs attic closet room, and we don't allow him back out into the rest of this thing called our life. If that's you today, and he's convicted your heart, he says, look, I want to sit at the table with you. I don't want to be in the attic anymore. I'm here, but I want to sit at the table. And you want him at the table. Listen, you can just say, Lord, forgive me. I know I'm a mess, but above all, I know I'm your child. Help me, Lord. Speak to me. Fellowship with me. Carry me. Correct me. Lord, I lift this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, he's heard your prayer. He's heard your cry. He's like, when's supper? When do we eat? He'll give you peace in your heart, joy in your life, and one step at a time into his presence and into his midst. Listen, as always, I've said before, I'm an old soul. I still believe in a thing called an invitation. I still believe in this thing called an altar. And I still believe that all of us need both. What are we going to do with it today? What's the Lord said to you today? If you need me, I will be here as we have our time of invitation. If you need this altar just to spend a few moments with the Lord, let me make you a promise in one area. You can lay all of your burdens at that altar, and this church has a phenomenal cleaning crew. It's called the God Cleaning Crew, and whatever burden you put there will be gone. It'll be swept clean before you leave. Will you give it to him? As we stand, as we sing, you do business with God. If you need me, I'm here. The altar's here. You come. Bowed, your eyes are closed. As you do business with God personally, one-on-one, have you received the message that he has for you today? Not your neighbor, the one he has for you today. What has he spoken to you? What has he said to you? Have you dealt with him? Will you do it today? Will you make it right in these very, very moments? Now's your time. He is standing at the door. He is knocking. Will you let him in? Will you let him into the areas of your life that you've shut him off of? Today is the day to repent. Today is the day to be free. As you continue to do business with God in prayer, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. I've always loved that, and I trust that's our mantra. Have thine own way, Lord. Can we leave this place saying, Lord, have thine own way. Not about me. It's about you. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today, we thank you so much for provision in our lives. Lord, everything we have comes from you and everything is yours. But you've asked us to be good stewards of it. You have asked us to return a small portion, to be faithful, Lord, that you might be able to increase in our lives the things that you want to increase. You have shown yourself faithful time and time and time and time again. Lord, I pray right now that as we continue to worship in giving back to you, that you will bless the tithe and the offering. Lord, that you will bless those who give, that you will bless the one who realizes that all they have comes from you. Do something incredible that only you can, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple quick things. I'll get you out of here. Those this week that are having birthdays today, Paul Johansson, a big happy birthday to Paul. I mean, what can I say? You know, I'm glad that Cherie's with you because Brother God is good, isn't he? Amen. Paul's birthday today, Tuesday. Nancy Kreider. Where's Nancy? Nancy, oh, it's not. It's not your birthday. I would have rode that when? The 29th. Okay. Let me make a note of that. Okay, so Nancy gets two birthdays. We'll celebrate her until the 29th. How's that? But can just keep her in your prayer. She'll take them any day. And then we don't have any anniversaries coming up this particular week. But let those folks know that are celebrating birthdays or going to be celebrating birthdays real soon that you love them, you care for them, and you're going to be praying for them. Just a couple of quick announcements. Today, choir practice, 5 o'clock, right here. That has changed. So those of you who may not have actually been here, but you're tuning in online, and the Lord is calling you to be a part of the choir. Do you hear me? Are you out there? Knock, knock, knock. Choir practice, 5 o'clock on Sundays. They would love to have you be a part in joining them for that. That has been moved from Wednesdays now to Sundays. So Sundays at 5 o'clock. Building and Grounds does have a meeting today Sunday School Room 203. That is the middle school room next door, and that will be at 4 o'clock p.m. Building grounds, 4 p.m., middle school room 203. Also, don't forget, tonight after our Bible study at 7:15, we'll have our monthly church conference. That's our monthly business meeting. And then just a couple of quick things that I want to share with you on Easter, our Easter Sunday morning. What we're going to do, we're going to have a breakfast at 9:30. I'm going to go ahead and get this on your radar. We're going to do a breakfast here at 9:30, and then after the breakfast, we'll go into our worship service. We won't be having Sunday school that day. We're going to have a time of getting together, a fellowship breakfast at 9:30, and then we will have our Easter Sunday worship service after that. So we'll give you more details as we go forward with that. So just kind of put that on your radar. We look forward to having that time to be able to fellowship together. I enjoy the fellowship. I know that sometimes that scares people coming through the pandemic, but there ain't nothing like being with God's people. I'm still a hugger. I'm still a handshaker. And I am invincible until God is done with me. And I know somebody said, yeah, but maybe I'm not. So I get it. We really do. But listen, make that a part of the fellowship, at least on that Sunday. Come and be with us. We really want to enjoy each other's time as we celebrate the resurrected Lord on Easter Sunday morning. Again, we'll give you more about that as we go forward. One thing I want us to do, if you're here and you are part of the personnel team, we need just a minute or two, and I really mean a minute or two. I'm asking Marcia to hold me accountable. If I go more than 5 minutes, then you can hit me with a stick or whatever, okay? I need 5 minutes time with the personnel team right after our service, right over here in the conference room. So if you'll just, I'll tell you what, if you're part of that personnel team and you want to go over and head that way, go ahead before I pray, because I'm going to head right out the door, because I promise I'm going to be that way. Madeline, show them the way. Marcia, there you go. Y'all are so Baptist. I don't want to get up first. Golly, Pete, I don't want to be the first one to get up. That's why preachers like when you have meals. Nobody wants to be the first in line. We don't mind. We don't mind. We'll be the first in line. I just need to speak with them just for a few minutes so we can get some things planned out for the future. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Don't forget, we do have Bible study tonight. Awana is at 5:30, and we have our Bible study in here, adult Bible study, at 6 o'clock. So be sure to come back and be with us. Let's pray together. Father, you are so good to us, and Lord, I am so grateful that even though it hurts my heart to think about what you went through, Lord, especially the fact that you went through it for me, Lord, I realized that there would be no way of salvation, and I am so grateful for what Calvary accomplished. And Lord, as I've been reminded so many times, the cross was not the end. The resurrection started a whole new chapter. Lord, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for what we will be celebrating in our upcoming weeks. But Lord, help us to celebrate the resurrection daily, not just once a year. But Lord, help us to truly be grateful for all the goodness and all the things that you provide for us. So Lord, right now, go with us as we go away from this place. May you bring us back again at the appointed time to gather around your word as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tonight.